There we go. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Come one, come all. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. So glad that you decided to join us. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton, founder of this here StarWarsReport.com, and so glad, as I said, that you've decided to give us the next, half hour or so of your time to talk about all the latest and greatest in the Star Wars universe. Here in the Star Wars fan community, it's always a fun time that we have together pretty much each and every week here at the Star Wars Report Podcast, and I'd like to bring in my good friend and yours, it's Mr. Mark Herleman. What's up, Mark?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey.
Always glad to be here. Ha ha. You like that restraining bolt, huh? Ha ha ha. You think I could do it, did you? Yeah, it worked.
And how are things?
I feel like I'm fighting with him for the mic. It's like he knows the openings are like the only time he can really get a word in.
They have that and right after the credits roll. That's his time to shine. Good old Whistler.
Like, it's all you, buddy.
So how have you been, man?
It's a little stage fright. Oh, it's been good, man. Been good. It's been a good week, you know? A lot of news, a lot of developments, a lot of awesomeness.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I mean, just like life in the Star Wars community is always so cool this time of year. I was going to say this time of year, but really just like this era in Star Wars fandom is so cool. I really enjoy the fact that there's always so much to talk about. And on this episode, we do have a whole lot to talk about. When it comes to Star Wars, and we're going to kind of talk about the death of the prequel era, because that's kind of it. That's what we're going to be talking about. Some of our favorite moments from the prequel era, but now that there's been this kind of huge shift towards Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Episode 7, it's about that time to not discount, but to, I guess, recount our time with the Clone Wars and so many other prequel era characters that we've come to like so much. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this episode of the Star Wars Report Podcast. Well, I'll tell you what, I really do enjoy that Clone Wars soundtrack by Kevin Kiner. It's such a shame we never got any more of the episodes. Wow. But no, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And Mark, I just kind of wanted to have a conversation with you about, like, what are your thoughts now where we stand when it comes to the prequel era, the Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano, Captain Rex, Anakin Skywalker, Asajj Ventress, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Ewan McGregor version, of course, or James Arnold Taylor version, I should say, really, now. Like, now that we stand here and we're in this time of transition as we kind of recount, what are your thoughts on this whole era of Star Wars that we've been in these past, say 5 years or so?
Well, what's weird is, you know, you look back on the era and yet you've got this weird shift of Dark Horse, Clone Wars, Gendy, Clone Wars, and then the Clone Wars. And yet there's still not one cohesive story there, and I haven't even heard any retcons to kind of quite explain away a lot of the stuff. Like, we know certain things may not exist still, like Obsession, because of how Asajj's story went in the Clone Wars and stuff like that. We still have no word as to what happened to Alpha. You know, where did he go? And you know, we know that Rex was intended to be Alpha, but then they changed their mind down the road, but they never said, you know, what really happened with Alpha? What happened to all those stories? That's still a shattered, you know, universe in a regard. And it's kind of interesting that we're closing this era and that was never answered. You know, for a long time, it was always, well, when the Clone Wars ends, we'll see. And now it's like, they don't even care to fix it. And it's curious because, you know, the EU, they always go back and fix things. So there's one side of me going, you know, they're not done with the EU, you know, or the prequel era, you know, they're probably going to come back at some point and find a way to fix the stuff. But why put your effort into it right now when you're about to have a sequel trilogy that's going to open up even more avenues and more possibilities? You could have a character in the sequel trilogy that didn't even exist before 2015 that may be perfect to write a prequel story for that can wrap up some of these things? I mean, you know, we don't even know. So I don't know. The option that they could go back and go into it has me excited. It seems to be over and that all the shift is now towards the sequel trilogy, but that's not to say that they can't come back. I mean, there's certainly enough holes in the times of the stories between here and there that they could go back and lace things together and stitch it up really nice. And then, oh, hey, these three pieces of fabric make a really cool kite.
Well, let's go fly a kite. There we go. No, you just suddenly spontaneously reminded me of Saving Mr. Banks, which I just recently saw from Mary Poppins.
I just think you were doing Mary Poppins, but like, I guess that's one and the same in that.
It's the story of. But no, it's a good point. The era probably isn't totally over, but I think there is some sense of finality to the way things were chopped up. It's interesting because we had, like, last year, we had the end of the Clone Wars as we knew it, cut short, and that huge campaign to try to save it. But then even as the novels kind of came to a close, and then as Detours was shut down, and then even Star Wars 1313, which is kind of prequels era, even though I guess it's technically post episodes 3, it's still before the original trilogy.
As things it and first assault both.
Yeah, well, and because you get that sense of that era that Disney didn't want to have present in the Star Wars universe moving forward. What's interesting now, a year later, we're already seeing, I guess for lack of a better term, not a resurgence, but I guess a stubbornness to die when it comes to things like Darth Maul, Sons of Dathomir, and the Star Wars bonus content that's coming back. I still get the sense that, from what Dave Filoni was saying on his Facebook page the other week, that we will see some sort of close to the Clone Wars series, and of course we'll see hopefully a good amount of resolution, I guess is what I'm looking for, in the Darth Maul Sons of Dathomir comic. So I think that'll be nice to see.
Do you get the feeling though that it's still full speed ahead on that episode or a season 6 content? That it seemed like Filoni went out of his way to be like, hey, we still got more stuff coming. Don't misunderstand. It's just one plot that we're given to Dark Horse.
Yeah.
It's just on Darth Maul. We still got a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think that kind of reassurance is there now, because before, I don't think he knew that they were going to get that. I mean, I don't think that there was going to be bonus content at all, other than maybe when they said bonus content, they could mean a comic. They could have been we're going to do the Sons of Dathomir comic and we're going to do nothing else with the Clone Wars. But I think that campaign did move them to at least polish up and get ready for release those whatever episodes left in season 6 that they could.
Yeah.
We have the Yoda arc.
Let's take Ahsoka for a second here. Okay. You know, they bring in Ahsoka. She's Anakin's Padawan. Do you think they had an exit strategy in mind from start to finish? And you think what we got in season 5 was it?
No way. No way. No, there was no... I think Dave has said that in some interviews where they didn't have an ending in mind. I think he'd said in some cases they had several endings. And I think that they got wind of the Disney deal and decided to make that Ahsoka's end. But I think that they would have left it. And I even remember it was at Star Wars Celebration 5 at the Clone Wars press conference where Ashley Eckstein and Matt Lanter mentioned that they went back to re-record lines for a big, huge scene coming up what was then season 5. And yeah, No one else even knew about it. And at the time, that was kind of a big hullabaloo in the fan community. What did they re-record to go back? So I think they changed the dialogue and the scenes for those episodes to be a little bit more final, I guess, in its feeling.
Well, we talked about, you know, Maul showing up in the sequel trilogy and stuff like that. Well, what do you think about Ahsoka? I mean, would you be okay with that? Would that be the one tie-in to everything, the prequel trilogy? Which is weird because she's not actually in the prequel trilogy, but she falls in the prequel trilogy era.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like a tie without a tie if she did go.
Well, and here's the thing. When it comes to Ahsoka, I did not really like her character in season 1 at all. And then in season 2 of the Clone Wars, there are a number of moments where she was kind of bratty in the movie, and she took on Grievous all by herself and survived. And I thought at the time, like, that's really ridiculously unrealistic. Like, Grievous held his own against Obi-Wan Kenobi, and here's, you have essentially barely a Padawan learner who's holding off General Grievous. And like, there, so there's some moments like that that irritated me. And I even remember to this day, like, there being a moment where they call her Commander Ahsoka, and that just bothered me, because like, she's not a commander, she's a Jedi Padawan. And that was all in season one. But in season two, when was the Terra Sanube episode where the old master, wasn't that in season two, or was that season three I'm thinking of?
I think that actually was season three.
I want to, it's really right about, I think it leveled off in season two, but around season three, there are a handful of episodes that I thought were really powerful, including the Terra Sanube episode. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but I really appreciated her character then. And then by the time of season four and five, especially in season five, there were some developments with her character that I made her kind of legitimized in my mind as a really solid character that I had come to like a lot. But it did take some time. And you know, by the time I was podcasting regularly about Clone Wars, it would have been seasons probably three and four. So I guess there's one of those. It's one of those things where, even though I didn't like her at the time, I did come to really appreciate the character of Ahsoka.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I, you know, the first it was like, wait, Anakin's got a what? And then she come out with her little quips.
Well,
and
I didn't
stuff.
Even care that he had a Padawan. I just, it wasn't executed very well, I don't think, in the Clone Wars film.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too is you know, the way, when you think about the way it was released and it was all chopped up out of order, they gave us a movie that was actually in the middle of the next season that was going to follow it, which was season one. And I don't know, you almost kind of wonder if, like, when they finally get done with the episode six stuff and they have like a final cut, you know, a final Blu-ray DVD cut, should they go back and put them in a timeline order so you don't have to wonder or guess as to which episode really went where? I mean, that always seemed like a fail on the Clone Wars part, like that they did that chopping it up. I mean, it never really worked for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, it wasn't horrible, but there were some seasons, some of the episode seasons, like what season was it? Season four, I think, where they opened with the clone episodes, or they didn't open with them, but there were the clone episodes that one was the prequel to Rookies and the other one was the sequel to Rookies. And like, at that point, it just gets confusing, especially if you're a young boy in that demographic that they're targeting for the series.
Yeah, so you'd be okay with if they were to go back and make another version where they actually broke the seasons up and
absolutely
gave you the entire show in, like, a chronological. Not season one, season two, season three, but these are all the episodes, and kind of like what they did with Firefly. You know, Firefly, they showed them out of order, but the DVD came in order. You actually could watch them in the order that they were meant to be played in chronological happening, not in the way they were published. But they actually told you, you know, it was aired on this date, it was made this date, but it actually went live this date. And when you watch that, you're like, wow, somebody really hosed these people over. You know, I mean, there were moments where the negative with it comes to the Clone Wars, I think it was probably attributed to the fact that there was a lot of confusion as to what was going on because of how it was presented.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I found the Clone Wars complete seasons 1 through 5 on DVD, and then you guys covered this in your year in review show on Beyond the Films, where you talked about the different video releases. They also have a Blu-ray version of this, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
but those are not in chronological order, they're just in the same order that they were.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's still season by season how they were aired, so
yeah,
they'll still be out of order.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. That's pretty cool though. I totally lost. Where were we now? I got lost.
Would you be okay with a collector, an ultimate?
Oh,
you know,
I'd be more than okay with it.
It was not seasons, but all, this is the timeline of events.
I would be totally okay with it. Just kind of in the same way that I would pay a very huge premium price for a Lucasfilm archive edition of the Star Wars trilogies with the most modern, up-to-date Blu-ray beautiful version, down to like remastered theatrical versions, plus all the bonus content that's been on any of the releases so far. Not even any new stuff, just a collection of everything that currently exists instead of splitting it up.
Ultimate collection.
I would pay like $150 for that. And I'm not kidding at all. And that's, you know, I mean, I think they're
especially. I would do that. I would do the same if they made a promise. You know, like this is the ultimate essential collectors. It has everything up to this point, and when we put out new DVDs, all the bonus content will always from this point on be sold as a separate disc that you can buy individually.
So, so it doesn't have to be like bonus. You don't mind if there's new bonus content, but they don't make them package it with a. Yeah, I can see
don't
that.
Don't make me forced to buy the same movies that I've already owned five other times again. Please. No.
Yeah.
I just want that 5 minutes of Luke igniting that lightsaber he created right there. Yes. Thank you, Luke.
Well, and I'll tell you what, like when it comes to Clone Wars releases and Star Wars releases, I know that there can be a lot of angst when it comes to, you know, releasing a version and then releasing the new, like a lot of people are upset that they didn't have some of the same bonus content on the DVDs on the Blu-rays, because then you have to pop in your old DVD to get access to those old bonus content. There's like the episode one DVD has this like one huge super session, 1 hour bonus feature on the making of. Do you remember that, Mark? It's like,
vaguely,
it's like 40. It's been forever since I watched it, but it's like this 42 minute huge documentary on the making of episode one, just a really thorough going through. And I really enjoyed that. And they didn't do it for any of the other prequels, but like just the bonus content on that was amazing. The episode three DVDs, that the bonus content of that was incredible. And it's a shame that they didn't
featurettes.
Yeah.
My favorite one on that is they did it for real. Like, yes. Oh my God, they really did. Like, you want that. You're like, that gives you a whole new respect for that moment when Anakin and Obi-Wan go to town on Mustafar. You're like, oh my God, they didn't speed this up at all. Yes.
I mean, because
I really did. I thought they sped it up. I truly was a non-believer. And then you watch that little featurette and you're just like, wow. Like, I mean, you know, I guess from one side of me, like I could expect it, you know, I've had girlfriends that were in band and marching band and all these different drills and dance stuff, you know, and the choreography of it and all, like, you know, if you practice it long enough, it becomes second nature and stuff like that. But to watch them actually do it and then watch the end result, that is a cool experience.
Absolutely. I mean, the episode three DVD was just amazing to me. And you can't even get it anymore. Like it's 44. There's only three left in stock on Amazon, and they're $44. And see that, and that's how it goes. Because now it's the Blu-ray version. But if you wanted to access that amazing documentary that we're talking about, they did it for real. That's not on the Blu-ray, and it is on the Revenge of the Sith DVD, which I still proudly cherish and keep on my shelf. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I get it, but at the same time, as a fan, we still have like the free decision to not buy it. And I mean, even though like it might be wonderful that there's new bonus content or bonus features, but you know, if they want to force fans to buy the whole set again to get new bonus contents, that's still a free choice on your part. You don't have to buy it, and you can just decide, well, I can still be a Star Wars fan and not necessarily have to own every single edition of the movies ever released. In some ways,
that ignores those poor diseased fools out there like myself that have OCD that they're like, I would love to just let this go, but I can't, I can't. Oh, you just take my money.
As he wept upon the floor helplessly. No, but I mean, Mark, it's true though. You don't have to. I mean, we don't have to buy the things. And I mean, part of me, like, I don't think just being a Star Wars fan gives us license to really whine and complain too much about how they choose to release the saga that we love, because there are plenty of great additions. I don't know. Sometimes I think consumers are a little bit too testy and too demanding.
Attached?
Yeah.
Well, here's one for you. Kenny Crawley Jr. had asked me and Nathan how many books, just the Star Wars books, that we had. So I went out and counted. Take a wild stab, Riley.
How many have there been released so far?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to say.
Okay,
I just know how many I own.
All right, how
I told
many
my
Star
wife
Wars?
She wanted to throw up.
All right, I'm asking how many Star Wars books, and then Google autocomplete finished it. So I'm going to go to the ever reliable Yahoo Answers.
You cheater! That's not a wild stab. That's a calculated guess.
it's a pretty wild guess if it's Yahoo Answers, but. I don't know. That was a very totally unhelpful. It just said over 100.
Oh,
there's a list of. I don't know. There's a list of Star Wars books on Wikipedia, and I'm looking at them now. but there's not really a way to say see how many there are. Oh, well. Okay, I'll just take a stab. Here we go. No, I'm going to say 85. No, no.
85?
Can I take it back?
You can take it back.
Okay, here's my real guess, my official guess. 1,138. No. No. Okay. The actual serious guess
might have been closer.
52.
No, I have 330 Star Wars books, not including, you know, my trade comics, that kind of stuff like that. And when I told her that, she's like, no, let's see, $330 times $6. I'm like, well, some of them are a little more than that. I'm like, we're not talking, we got some hardcovers here at $25 a pop, you know, things like that. I'm like, you know, I can get it. You know, when you've been investing something that long and you stop and you think about the fact that, well, hey, it may not quite count like you thought it count. And you've been sold on that. Hey, it's all one big universe. I could see why some people would get a little mad. I mean, you know, but you're right. At the end of the day, you know, they weren't forced to buy the stuff, you know, but I get where that attachment to it all comes from, because, you know, you've invested in this, because while it is a dollar price, that dollar came from your time, you know, going to your work and spending that time away from the people you care about to make the money. And then, yeah, you chose to spend it on that, but it's still an investment on your end just as much, even though you're not attached to that investment beyond your own physical collection. Yeah. You know, so that's like a crux of being a fan that collects as much stuff as like I do. Cause you know, you're like, wow. Like when you add the number up and then you start thinking about it, you're like, I've got a sick obsession.
Like
I wouldn't change it.
Like here's a good, I have to lean away from the microphone here. I'll project my voice. I'm looking at my shelf right now here in the studio where I have some of the Star Wars, various editions that I've purchased. And I have the first three seasons of The Clone Wars, but I didn't purchase seasons 4 or 5 when they came out, and I'm waiting to purchase, I'm planning on just purchasing the whole set, but I'm waiting till after the bonus content to see. And that's just my choice, because I think that they're going to do a big release, and I'm willing to put in the time, because I've seen all the episodes, it's not like I have to buy them to see them. So I'm patient enough to think, I think it's will. Well, let me speak clearly and communicate without conflating words. Let me try that. Take two. This is a Star Wars Report podcast. Take two. Take two. All right, here we go. I am willing to wait to make sure that an edition of the Clone Wars series is released with all of the bonus content. And then if they decide not to do it, or it sounds like they're not, I may just buy the whole collection and then the bonus content separately. But I want to wait and see how that release schedule is going to go before I sink in, you know, $85 on Amazon for the whole shebang. But, yeah.
Yeah, I was the same way with The Hobbit. You know, I ran out, I got that, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot. He does special editions.
I did exactly the same thing.
Oh, yep, sure enough, there it is. Dang it.
And I still haven't bought I want to buy the extended edition, and I'm like, oh, come on, because I spent good money on the regular edition when they first released it. And, of course, yeah. We all know there's going to be a big collection, you know, at the end of all of this, too. So, you know, it's
On a Lord of the Rings side of things, wait for the edition with the really cool bookend castles, because that's what I did on the first Lord of the Rings, and I love my Minas Tirith.
Yeah. Well, and Lord of the Rings has a great Blu-ray set now that's out there. I highly recommend, now that they upgraded on, did a nice big box set of all of them on, it's basically all the bonus features. And see, take a tip, Lucasfilm. When they released the Blu-ray editions of Lord of the Rings, they were just normal, and I didn't like that. But what I did like is when they released a collection of all three films, and it had all of the awesome bonus content from those huge extended edition DVDs. It's just basically the upgraded, all it was the Blu-ray, the films on Blu-ray in super high definition, and then just all the same bonus content, which is nice, because it didn't mean that, you know, you would have to go pull out your DVDs to watch the old bonus content. They just put it on the new editions, which is what I'd want to see for that sort of thing. So I don't know. I enjoyed the Clone Wars a lot, but I'm willing to wait when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the release of the bonus content. I'm going to see how that goes before I sink my hard earned money into it.
Well, you know, we mentioned, you know, the possibility of Ahsoka showing up in the sequel trilogy. Another thing that happened in the prequel trilogy was that we saw, you know, a lot of tip of the hats. You know, we saw the Millennium Falcon show up in it. We saw E.T. species inside the Senate, things like that. Now, what if And what for you, and what do you think the fan reaction would be? What if in the sequel trilogy we see something similar to that, one of these tip of the hats? And what if we see a species of aliens that look like Mickey Mouse show up? I mean, would that be too far if they did it in a way where it didn't look cartoony, but it actually looked grounded in the Star Wars universe? Would a walking species of mouse be too far-fetched in a galaxy where you have walking, talking dinosaurs and other things?
You know, I'm not sure how I would feel about that. To be totally honest, I'm not sure. Because, like, I remember hearing the news that Stephen Colbert would be have a cameo in The Hobbit because he went to the set. I thought, really? Because that
was short-lived, that spot, too.
Yeah, however, it was really tiny, and if you don't know that it's there, I mean, even when I watched the film, I didn't even notice it, and then I had to be online to find it there.
And you have to go and see the image, and you're like, really, that's him? Because it barely even looks like him.
In fact, like, I'm looking for it right now, and I found, yeah, I got up on YouTube after someone finally figured it out and found it. But yeah, Stephen Colbert, yeah, made a little tiny appearance. Oh, here it is.
He's in Lake Town.
I sent you the wrong link, but I just sent you another link. But yeah, if it's that kind of thing, I kind of like the idea, but maybe not with Mickey Mouse. But like if it's Wolfpack or, you know, like Dave Filoni would do with the Clone Wars series, I really like, you know, the idea of throwing in a clone commando because you can.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, just the way they did it with the ET species, you know, was so slick because it was like the size of like your thumbnail on the image, you know, give or take how big your screen was. And I think they did it twice. Like I know they were at least in episode 2, and I think they may have been again in episode 3. But it was so quick. It was like one of those, like you said, with the Colbert, you know, if you didn't know it was there, you would miss it. In fact, there's one in the prequels that I still can't find. It is the in episode 2 when Anakin and Obi-Wan start to go down towards the underlayers. There's a scene where an X-Wing is being chased by two TIE fighters. And,
yeah,
you know, in the commentary,
that before,
that's what it is. I have yet to be able to see it. Although that actually gives me a reason to go and watch this on my projector screen, because if anywhere am I going to see it, it'll probably be on my wall.
Yeah, well, and I could see that. I'll tell you what, like, we kind of circled around it, but when it comes to the Star Wars prequel era, it's kind of sad that it's over, because I think that is something that's fair to say, is that it's mostly over. It's coming to a close. Yeah. And it's interesting for me as a younger Star Wars fan who's really only been in the fan community while all of this is going down. I wasn't online, you know, when Vector Prime was about to be released. I wasn't, you know, in the trenches, so to speak, at all that at that time. So that's what I'm used to. So it's strange to see the kind of awakening that's happened in the fan community when it comes to Star Wars Episode 7 and, you know, returning to that original trilogy era. But I'm enjoying it, and I like to see the life that's been breathed back into this community, and I really enjoy being a part of that and kind of chronicling that as we go through it here on the Star Wars Report podcast. It's a privilege, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, one upside to the prequel era and the ending is they really did focus more on Obi-Wan and Anakin. And then Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka. So, I mean, if they ever want to come back to this era later and do like a Team 2 kind of thing where, you know, on the other side of the galaxy, while Anakin and Obi-Wan were fighting in the major hut of the Clone Wars, we also had the B-Team fighting, you know, like a whole nother cast of people also set in the Clone Wars, but on the other side of the galaxy fighting battles that were just as equally important, but we never even knew about them. I mean, you know, the potential is there. That was one of the best things that Lucas gave us, was
like
the fact that the potential for stories was so huge.
It's like the moment in Star Wars Episode 3 where, you know, Obi-Wan says, "Master Voss has moved his troops to Boss Pity," and you're like, "Oh, that's so cool." That's so cool. And in fact, there's a campaign in Battlefront Renegade Squadron for the PSP that it was going to be Battlefront 3 type of thing, and then they just turned it to a PSP only. But on that version, there is a battlefield at Boss Pity where you can play as Quinlan Voss, and it's ridiculously awesome.
See, I need to go back and get these old systems at one of these little secondhand stores.
Well, hey, I mean,
I got Lethal Alliance for the Nintendo one for that regard. I was like, oh, $5? Okay.
Find out about the forming of the Rebellion for the umpteenth millionth time. Well, let's see, we've got like Force Unleashed, we've got Lethal Alliance, we've got Star Wars Rebels coming up. How many times have they told the story of the forming of the Alliance?
Quite a bit. About to get one more.
And I was going to say, when we're going to get more in that era, an era comes to a close, but more great stuff is ahead. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Stay in touch. We want you guys to pitch in, jump in with the conversation, shoot us an email at starwarsreport@gmail.com. Interact with us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Twitter, it's @StarWarsReport. We always appreciate you guys subscribing to us and leaving us ratings and reviews on iTunes. We do really appreciate those at StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Mark Herleman is @IllogicalRogue2 doing Star Wars Beyond the Films just about each and every week. Well, really, every week. And then you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @TheRileyGuy. And if you're interested in non-Star Wars stuff that I do, hey, head over to RileyBlanton.com. You'll see blog posts and other projects that I'm working on right now. But as always, stay tuned here at the Star Wars Report and StarWarsReport.com for all of your Star Wars fan podcasting needs. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
All hail the 2nd Airborne Division.
Nicely done. I kind of feel like we need to...
7, 8, 9.
There we go. Okay.